And a very good Monday morning to you, fine folks out there, even though this show is going to be so stimulating, fascinating, controversial, and possibly even award-winning, we're going to repeat it four times besides the usual Monday at 10:15 a.m. Eastern slot. So if it's Tuesday or Thursday or maybe even next year, you'll know it's being aired because the content is something that your ears and brain cells will very much find pleasurable. Or you might be swearing at your radio a little bit. That's okay, too. We invite all perspectives. You can see in the background. Oh, I'm Adam Lett, by the way. Before I forget my own name, I think my voice is pretty recognizable. Kind of a household vocal cord utterance at this point. But in the background, getting ready to appear with me on the radio waves is Mr. Lucas Wall, hanging his hat in the sunshine and controversial state of Florida, even though he normally hangs his hat in the Joe Biden, Donald Trump neighborhood of Washington, D.C., but he's still on the southeastern part of the great United States as we talk to him here on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio. And if you don't listen to my show regularly, well, that's okay. I think you will after you hear this episode. Lucas is a gentleman who, like myself, is a very strong anti-mask advocate. Someone who, like myself, believes that masks have little to no mitigation value against COVID and other viruses, but they also cause health problems, both mental and physical. And the whole political landscape involving mask requirements has gotten completely out of hand. And Lucas is a gentleman who has done a lot for our cause. And again, even if you don't agree with us, that's fine. I believe that mature adults can shake hands and laugh and have a cup of coffee or something else and still discuss issues they may not be in accord with. But I think his opinions are important. And if you're unsure about the issue, or maybe you just don't feel as strongly about it as we do, hopefully this will strengthen your opinion or maybe sway you one way or the other. So, Lucas, how are you doing on this fine early May morning in the great United States of America?
Oh, hard to believe it's May already, and coming up on the one-year anniversary of when I started my battle against the federal transportation mask mandate and the international traveler testing requirement. I think it was May 18th last year that I started diving in on to all of the research on how you, without an attorney, file a federal lawsuit challenging CDC policies. And a little bit frustrated today, I'll be heading to the post office after I speak to you here to mail my notice of appeal and get a money order for $505 to appeal the outrageous decision that was issued by Judge Paul Byron in Orlando on Friday, the 29th of April, just a few days ago, ruling that the federal transportation mask mandate and the international traveler testing requirement are legal exercises of CDC's power, totally contradicting, with respect to the mask mandate, the outstanding judgment issued April 18th by Judge Mizell in Tampa, just down the road from Orlando.
So Judge Mizell did not rule in your case, a very similar case, though, she ruled in. But your judge, Mr. Byron, and I have some other names for him, but this is a G-rated station, so we're not going to provide those names. That judgment, Lucas, was quite different, pretty much the total opposite. And you and I heard about that last Friday, April 29th of 2022, and we were none too pleased. Now, how is it possible that two judges who are supposed to be unbiased, not use their own personal viewpoints in making a judge, can come up with two entirely different decisions? I mean, there can certainly be some similarities, even if they're not necessarily the same decision, but these could not be more different. How is that even possible? And do you think there's a competence? I mean, obviously, yeah, we like Judge Mizell's issue. Last show, I said I'd like to see her on Supreme Court. And, you know, she's a young woman, not even 40, so maybe that will happen at some time in the future, but this Judge Byron, I kind of giggling as I think of what you and I have been calling him instead. How can his decision be so different? And tell us about Judge Byron. Is he a young person like Mizell? I mean, did he go to a real law school? And, you know, tell us about him. And how could he give such not only a different but such a bad decision?
It's pretty astounding. If you read Judge Mizell's 59-page opinion and then you read Judge Byron's 29-page opinion, it really looks like these two judges reside on different planets, 180-degree opposite judgments, and pretty darn astounding. But there is a rule in the federal court system that one district judge's decision is not binding on any other district judge. They are equals. They cannot usurp each other. The only courts that can overturn a decision of a district court are the courts of appeals, where my envelope here will be mailed in the next hour or two to notify the court that I am appealing this judgment to the U.S. Court of Appeals for the 11th Circuit, which is based in Atlanta and handles appeals from Florida, Georgia, and Alabama. In terms of Judge Byron, he is much older than Judge Mizell. Older, but clearly not wiser. And I don't recall what law school he went to, but I think he's in his 60s. And he was appointed by President Barack Obama, whereas Judge Mizell just appointed to the bench a year and a half ago by President Donald Trump. And so we clearly have the ideology of masking reflected in these two decisions by judicial appointees from parties of different parties, no doubt. And it's really unfortunate. Judge Byron's decision reads like it was written by one of Biden's appointees at the CDC, and they just handed it to the judge to sign, almost like it was ghostwritten as a political decision in favor of what the CDC has been doing to the American public. The positive thing, Adam, is that Judge Mizell vacated worldwide the federal transportation mask mandate. So this judgment against me and for the government on that issue does not change the status quo, where as of April 18th, the mask mandate was declared invalid by Judge Mizell. Judge Byron can disagree, as he did, but he cannot overturn her judgment.
Yeah, Adam Lepp here on WWGH Radio, speaking with one of my brothers in broadcasting, Mr. Lucas Wall, about lawsuits ending the federal transportation mask mandate, or the FTMM, one that did strike it down by Judge Mizell, and then one that said it is okay to have, but fortunately, the first one by Judge Mizell is the one that's going to stand. We're talking a bit about the differences in these judges as humans. Can Judge Mizell in her 30s, the judge we like, appointed by Donald Trump, no, not making any comments, as Lucas and I are both independents, libertarian-leaning, we judge by the candidate, not really the party. So, you know, no comment here from the peanut gallery, but your judge, Lucas Paul G. Byron, appointed by Barack Obama. His resume is pretty good. I looked it up while we were talking here. 62 years old. He's from Queens, New York City, where many of my relatives live or have lived. Went to Miami-Dade College, University of Michigan. You know, jokes about the Ohio State-Michigan rivalry aside, Michigan's actually a very good college, and got his law degree at Paul M. Hebert Law Center at Louisiana State. He served as a judge advocate in the Judge Advocate General's Corps of the United States Army in the late 80s, was an assistant United States attorney in Florida. So he has a great resume, just for some reason doesn't seem to be using that education that he acquired in Michigan and Louisiana and other places. It's almost like he rubber stamped something that Dr. Fauci told him to say. Do you think he really put any thought into this? Is this just his bias that he thinks he's a mask worshiper and he doesn't care that people are suffocating mentally and physically because of these useless devices, and he just wants to be king? Or, I mean, what's up with this guy?
Well, he has had a great hostility and bias toward me from the beginning of this case, and I have a companion case before him, which he also issued a hugely negative decision on, also on Friday. I guess he decided to slap me on both sides of my face on the same day, and that was the case against 7 airlines for discriminating against those with medical conditions such as myself, who were unable to medically tolerate wearing a face mask. And you mentioned Dr. Fauci. I mean, this opinion looks like if Dr. Fauci were a judge, this is what he would have written. I mean, it's really mind-blowing. And I know we don't get into too much politics, Adam, but I will have to say the irony of this is that I voted for President Obama. I hugely supported him. I went to his first inauguration with about another 1.5 million Americans on the National Mall near where I live in Washington, D.C. And I did not vote for Donald Trump in either election. In fact, I thought he was overall a terrible president. I did happen to agree with him on some issues, including the need to avoid onerous government pandemic restrictions. But for those who think that, oh, this is just purely political, this guy must be a crazy, you know, right-wing conservative or whatever, nope, as you noted, I'm middle of the road, libertarian tendencies, but it is aggravating that the judge appointed by the president that I voted for twice was the one that has issued this horrible decision. And then we have the one, Judge Mizell in Tampa, who was appointed by a president I did not care for at all, who issued the very favorable decision. So it just goes to show one reason that I'm apolitical, because I go by the issue, not by the by the party or the ideology.
Yeah, you know, politics makes strange bedfellows, and Joe Biden, the vice president under President Obama, and it seems like they have disappointed you, but the Democratic Party in general has really moved far to the left and is not consistent with my beliefs. And I believe I agree with them on some things, but in general, they've really gone a bit crazy, to put it mildly, but so has the Republican Party. We've gotten so divisive. And as I see it, you know, we're Americans, the libertarian idea where America is founded on liberty. That's why we separated from Britain many years ago to begin with, and I think that was also part of the Civil War. We have a mentality here in the United States, and that mentality doesn't include having flight attendants and other airline and transportation employees require that their passengers, their clients essentially, do something unhealthy that they know is wrong, that they themselves have to do, that they themselves hate doing, even though there are some transportation workers who, for some odd reason, think that masks are good, but I think that would be a rather large minority. And we have judges with their own biases, and, you know, despite Judge Byron's seemingly excellent resume, Lucas, I don't think he put a lot of thought into this, and it's really a shame. And, you know, our own opinion here certainly is biasing.
Yeah, and he managed to drag this case out for almost 11 months and then issued this decision that reads like there wasn't a lot of whole thought put into it. And this was a case that he's had on his docket since June 7th of last year. So just a little bit shy of 11 months, which is quite preposterous. And if he was going to shoot this down, he should have done it months ago. There was no reason to continue to drag this out. I could be well into my appeal by now had he issued a decision last November or December when it was first available for him. And it's just nuts. I thought I'd read a little bit of his opinion for your listeners to sort of see how he viewed these issues versus Judge Mizell, which we talked about when I was on your show last week. But essentially, he noted that he concludes that both the federal transportation mask mandate and the international traveler testing requirement are valid exercises of CDC's authority under the Public Health Service Act. And he notes the major questions doctrine, which the Supreme Court has emphasized, that government agencies cannot issue the equivalent of laws on issues of deep economic and political significance. Congress must give explicit delegations of power to that agency, and an agency cannot rely on some 1944 obscure statute to try and come up with some novel idea, such as requiring every passenger, not just on airlines, but every form of public transportation, to wear a face mask. And he notes that the masking and testing requirements place negligible financial burdens on travelers. And he says that the CDC correctly pointed out that the mask mandate helps prevent the imposition of economic burdens by stymieing the spread of COVID-19 and consequently avoiding future lockdowns and resulting losses. That's just a bunch of BS right there, to be honest. There's no evidence whatsoever that the mask mandate prevented the spread of COVID-19. And his note that the mask mandate prevented the imposition of economic burdens is just a total lie. The airline industry has lost hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars, from passengers such as myself and many other people that we know who have refused to fly at all since the airlines began their own mask mandates and then CDC required it. In fact, the airlines have been lobbying since last summer. Shortly after I filed my case, the first in the nation to attack the legality of the mask mandate, they have been noting that their revenue and their passengers are still down significantly from 2019 pre-pandemic levels, that the mask requirement and the international testing requirement greatly discourage travel for no clear benefit. And so this notion that the mask mandate helps prevent the imposition of economic burdens by reducing the spread of COVID-19 and avoiding future lockdowns and resulting economic losses, it's just hard to fathom that anyone with a high education, as you noted from Judge Byron's resume, could come to that conclusion.
Adam here on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio, speaking with a regular guest of mine, someone I'm proud to call a friend, Mr. Lucas Wall, and his lawsuit against various government and airline entities regarding the Federal Transportation Mask Mandate, or FTMM for short. If you'd like to see details of these documents and his thoughts and other updates, please go to lucas.travel. lucas.travel/masks are bad also cites over 200 articles indicating that masks are bad. Form your own opinions. I don't agree with all the information in those citations, but I agree with most of it. And even I have overestimated the effectiveness of masks against this virus. But certainly I do know that they cause many health issues and many emotional issues. I speak myself. I've developed some nervous conditions that are going to be around a while, I believe, because of this, the world having basically gone wacko related to COVID and the mask mandates and infringements on our freedom. And I think a lot of people can attest to that. And I'm public about it. There's nothing that I'm trying to hide. I've had it, and I don't ever want to see another mask mandate until the end of time. The whole thing just disgusts me. And that, Lucas, that these airlines and buses and trains and Ubers and Lyfts, taxis, they are forced to enforce this ridiculous law, this illegal, dangerous law, something that they hate as much as we do, yet they have to enforce it on their passengers and affect their livelihood. This has caused irreversible damage to the important transportation industry in this great country. And that's planes, trains, buses, gig drivers, Uber, Lyft, etc., taxis. The list is endless. And I don't see how your judge, Judge Byron, possibly cannot see that.
It's wild, Adam. You mentioned about the webpage I've compiled on my blog with 228 scientific studies, medical articles, and videos showing that not only are masks ineffective at reducing the transmission of COVID-19, but they also harm human health in at least 68 documented ways. And these are not Lucas Lowe articles. These are articles written by scientists, doctors, researchers in public health, a wide range of experts from across the globe. And what really frustrates me is that Judge Byron said CDC looked at extensive scientific research supporting the use of masks to prevent the spread of COVID-19, especially when other preventative tools were impossible to implement effectively on transportation conveyances such as social distancing. He also mentions again this bunk that it relied on the cost to the entire country's economy if the mask mandate was not implemented, which of course is totally unfounded. And he went on to cite the 7 studies that CDC had in the record upon which they justified their supposed extensive scientific research. And notably, Judge Byron did not mention any single one of the 228 studies, articles, and videos that I introduced into evidence. So the scales of justice were certainly not balanced correctly when you have 7 flawed studies entered by CDC somehow outweighing 228 studies, articles, and videos compiled by doctors, scientists, researchers from across the globe.
I think it's fair to say, Lucas, that this was not an unbiased judgment. And again, this applies even if you are in complete disagreement with us. If you're a mask worshiper, that's fine, as long as you don't inflict that upon us and tell us to wear a mask, tell us we're bad if we don't wear a mask. I completely respect people's opinions. Just that isn't usually the way it goes, though. Normally, it's we're right, you're wrong. But again, it is America, and I also value the concept of free speech. It's one of the things this country is made of and will continue to be, and one of the predominant reasons why this is the best country in the world. And I'm not afraid to say that, despite any problems we have now or in the future. But bottom line is, this judge did not look at all sides, all of the evidence. That's not what the judge's job is. You would think somebody in his early 60s with that good of a resume, who's been a lawyer that long, would understand you have to look at both sides and see which one is right, even if you don't agree with it.
Yeah, if you're going to look at 7 studies introduced by the CDC, you could at least look at 7 of the 228 studies that I put into evidence, just to take a sampling of the thousands and thousands of pages of research going back decades showing that masks are ineffective but cause harm to our health. And it's just incredible. He just bought hook, line, and sinker everything, all of the propaganda that CDC put out, noting that CDC correctly noted that masks prevent dispersal of an infected person's respiratory droplets that carry the virus and also provide some protection to the wearer by helping reduce the inhalation of respiratory droplets, and that they prevent the introduction, transmission, and spread of COVID-19 into the United States and among the states and territories. Well, Adam, if that had proved true, then how did we have almost a year after the mask mandate went into effect and during a time when many states still had their own muzzling requirements in place, how did we have the massive surges this past winter where the COVID cases shot up to some incredible amount? Like, what did we get to? Like, an average of 700,000 positive tests a day around the winter holidays. So for anyone to say that masks prevent the spread of COVID and prevent the introduction, transmission, and spread of the virus into the U.S. and among the states and territories, someone clearly did not read the data and look at the surges that have occurred ever since this mask mandate and testing requirement went into a place. It really is kind of mind-boggling, especially when we have the fact that all 50 states have abolished their mask mandates. Like, Hawaii was the last one to finally let it go at the end of March. And so we have not a single state out of all 50 who believes that masks are effective. They have 40 of the 50 tried a mask mandate at some point. It didn't work. They withdrew them. And yet somehow Judge Byron buys everything the CDC is selling about how wonderful masks are and how they stop the spread. Well, I'd love to hear someone explain how you have 700,000 cases a day during the winter surge and how masks prevented that. That's like one out of every 500 people in the country had them testing positive every day for like a week or two. It's really hard to understand.
We talked earlier, Lucas, that you can't sue a judge for making a really bad decision. And it's a bad decision. Again, listeners, if you disagree with us, you believe that masks are good, that's cool. We respect your opinion, and I think Lucas would agree. However, the judge's decision must be unbiased. And if that decision is biased, even if you agree with it, it's a case, okay, well, you would say, I'm not complaining about his decision, but I don't think he was thorough. And he's just rubber stamping something that Fauci told him to say. It's kind of like in sports, Lucas. I mean, if your baseball team gets a call that is obviously wrong, but is in their favor, yeah, you're not really going to complain, but you understand ethically, if the batter is given a walk and that fourth ball was really a strike down the middle of the plate, it really is. It's a dirty walk. It's a dirty win. And if you win, you want to do it fairly. I mean, there are borderline calls, but this is so blatant. Now, we talked, would you agree with that? Is that kind of a fair analogy? I mean, again, in sports, if you, your team gets a call that's obviously wrong, but in your favor, I mean, you don't complain, but you don't really feel very good about it.
Yeah, no, obviously. I mean, if I'm watching my football team play and there's a pass interference call that gives us the ball 30 yards down the field, but there was clearly no contact, you kind of feel guilty about it. Like, okay, well, that's good that we get the 30 yards, but geez, that really shouldn't be happening. That's not the way we want to win the ball game. And what's interesting is that Judge Byron did go through the Public Health Service and say that it is clearly unclear. And he said that the way the statute was written was absolutely confusing and ambiguous. And he notes that there is no clear authority issued by Congress to the CDC to require masks be worn on transportation conveyances, nor travelers flying to the U.S. from a foreign country have to submit a negative virus test before they're even allowed to check in for their flight. And so he goes on saying that there can be narrow interpretations or there can be broad interpretations. But as soon as he concluded that the law was ambiguous and Congress did not provide clear, unchallenged authority for these policies, that should have been case closed right there. But yet he goes on to call the statute obscure and the government relies on sanitation to justify the mask mandate and inspection to justify the testing requirement. And he notes that these terms have multiple permissible meanings, and so they are inherently ambiguous. And that part of the decision, I totally agree with. But then he goes through and concludes that testing is a valid inspection, even though we inspect property and things, we don't inspect people. We examine a patient if someone is sick. You don't go to the doctor and say, I'm going to be inspected, right? And likewise, this reliance on the word sanitation to justify forced masking. Have you ever heard, Adam, someone say, I'm going to sanitize my face by putting a mask on it?
Yeah, my,
I have not.
My reaction on those rare times when, God forbid, I had to wear one of those monstrosities is, this is just disgusting. You know, you get your breath, you get saliva on it. It does nothing against a virus. And it just seems unclean. It's just yucky. I don't see the logic in it. And we're not talking about doctors wearing masks in surgery, dentists wearing them. You know, I'm not a doctor, I'm not a dentist. And, you know, the mask is a medical device. And these people are practicing medicine without a license. That includes President Joe Biden himself, as we've talked about. You swayed my opinion. I've said, well, if a business requires a mask, it's like a dress code. It's like a restaurant saying you have to wear a tie. And if you don't like that dress code, you can take your business and your appetite elsewhere. Not quite. Medical device includes a mask, and the maitre d' at a restaurant is not a doctor, or maybe the person actually is a doctor as a second job, but is not acting in the capacity of a doctor, and therefore is practicing medicine without a license. And a restaurant is allowed to say you must wear a tie, you can't wear open-toed shoes, you can't wear a baseball cap, but they may not say that you must wear a mask. And that applies to all businesses, and also applies to President Biden, who is not a doctor and needs to get back to cleaning up our economy and other things that presidents do.
And this is not something you and I have invented, Adam. The Food and Drug Administration classifies face masks as medical devices if they are purported to be used to contain the spread of a virus. And all masks except N95 certified respirator masks are not just defined by FDA as medical devices, but they are emergency / experimental medical devices, which the FDA has never approved for controlling a virus because there have been no trials, no studies showing that masks are effective in reducing the spread of a respiratory virus such as the flu or a coronavirus. And so we have this aggravated, and notably Judge Byron did not address this issue at all. In fact, there were most of my arguments he did not even address, except in a couple footnotes. He only focused on two questions out of the eight that I presented on the masks and the four that I presented on the testing. So he only addressed, well, I guess the two were the same, so four out of the 12, but he basically only even talked about one third of the arguments that I made. He never brought up the issue of how the masks are experimental medical devices, and under federal law, we have the right to refuse to use them. And so it's really frustrating when he says that the legislative history of this Public Health Service Act supports either the broad reading of this text or the narrow reading, and the court concludes that Congress has not directly addressed whether this section permits the CDC's promulgation of the mask mandate or testing requirement. Again, so that there are some correct, smart findings in his decision. But instead of making that the end of the story, case closed, the legislative history is unclear. Congress did not directly address this issue. That's it. If Biden wants a mask mandate, he has to go to Congress, and get a law, an actual real law passed by the House and the Senate, and then he could sign that into law, and then he can declare that mask wearing on transportation conveyances is a law. The CDC is an agency. It does not make laws. It can only exercise them based on the authority Congress has presented. But despite saying that Congress has not directly addressed this issue, instead of closing the book right there, he goes on to say that the CDC's interpretation of this confusing law is permissible, and that given the ambiguity of the text, the statutory context, and the legislative history, CDC's broad reading of this section is certainly reasonable. And then, this is just the most hysterical part, where he says that it is reasonable to categorize the mask mandate as a sanitation measure. As a matter of common sense, masks control the number of particles inhaled from the public airspace by the wearer and the number of particles exhaled by the wearer into the public airspace. And noting that masks clearly promote the public health by checking the transmission of airborne viruses, such as COVID-19, and thus it fits within the definition of sanitation. Now that is just perplexing and baffling to read, because it just cannot be any farther from the truth.
Adam here on The Talking Place with Lucas Wall, discussing lawsuits against the federal transportation mask mandate, President Biden and others thinking that they're doctors prescribing medical devices when they're not. And these medical devices are unsanitary and ineffective. And so these people probably should go back to elementary school. But we can address that intermittently on this and other episodes. About 7 minutes left, Lucas. And as my mama always said, time goes by when you're having fun. This isn't necessarily a fun episode, but we want to give people updates and stimulate conversation and have people form opinions. And again, if you don't agree with us, that's cool. But I think as Americans, we need to decide, is this is an important event? And I'd say the biggest event, maybe outside of 9/11 in my lifetime, that has been experienced and has a lasting effect on how things roll in this country and across the great world that we live in. Now, Lucas, we had talked on Facebook that you can't sue this judge for malpractice, even though he's obviously incompetent. As I said, he's not qualified to dust off Judge Mizell's gavel. I think we can agree on that. You can't do that, but you can file an appeal, which you are putting in the mail shortly after the first broadcast of this episode. Can you request a new judge, or will there be a new judge? Will we say goodbye to Judge Byron permanently? Because obviously, not only is he not on our side, he's not even doing his job.
Yeah, no. Thankfully, when the appeal goes to the 11th Circuit, you start anew. The appellate judges are completely different from the trial judges in the district court. So I will be bidding a fond goodbye, thankfully, to Judge Byron. Once this notice gets filed in his court, then the clerks transmit my case to the 11th Circuit. And there will be a panel of three judges that will be randomly drawn. I did look out of curiosity earlier today. The 11th Circuit features 11 active judges, and there are six appointed by President Trump. So Trump holds a majority of the appointees on that appeals court. And there was one appointed, I believe, by George W. Bush. So those are seven conservative appointees, and then there are four who were appointed by Obama and Clinton. So the odds are good in my favor for getting a three-judge panel that would hopefully have at least two conservatives judges, since they seem to be the only ones who are willing to actually read the law and apply it properly when it comes to CDC's authority. I did want to read one other section for you, Adam, which is where Judge Byron really left his impartiality way behind and went into politics, where he said that the broad reading of the Public Health Service Act makes sense from a practical policy perspective. A narrow reading constrains CDC's ability to expediently address health crises, such as the COVID-19 pandemic, to the detriment of public health. And he says that CDC, the nation's health protection experts, not federal judges, who are neither experts in the field nor part of either political branch in the government, that the CDC are the ones, the supposed experts, who should be making these calls and not federal judges. Well, the last time I looked, the Constitution places the duty to interpret and apply the laws in federal judges, not in bureaucrats at the CDC. And I think probably most high school students would be able to explain that to you if they have taken any sort of government class. So these kind of statements just really exude the bias of this decision. And there are many other pages I could go on to read, but I think you've gotten a good gist, and your readers have a good understanding of some of the incredible inconsistencies of what Judge Byron wrote versus Judge Mizell's much more in-depth analysis of these issues. Again, she wrote 59 pages. Judge Byron wrote only 29 and really did not go into much detail on any of the evidence that I presented, not to mention the actual legal arguments.
Adam here on The Talking Place with Lucas Wall, getting ready to wrap up this episode as we talk about lawsuits fighting the unjustified and dangerous, and out of lack of a better term, stupid federal transportation mask mandate. Now, with this appeal that you're filing, Lucas, what kind of a time frame before we see some action on it, hopefully a favorable decision?
Well, appeals take a long time, unfortunately. And what's interesting is that because Judge Mizell's decision came from Tampa and Judge Byron's decision came from Orlando, which obviously are both in Florida, the government has already appealed the end of the transportation mask mandate ordered by Judge Mizell to the 11th Circuit. And now my envelope will be going in the mail today to appeal Judge Byron's decision declaring the mandate legal. So the 11th Circuit will have two cases arriving within 2 weeks of each other, both by federal judges in Florida with 180-degree opposite viewpoints. So I am going to move for an emergency injunction to end the international traveler testing requirement, as I've been wanting to go visit my brother in Germany for a long, long time and have not been able to do that. So that will probably be decided within a week or two. And then the actual real adjudication, I think I'll get a month to file my brief. The cases will probably be consolidated with the ones from Health Freedom Defense Fund that were the victors with Judge Mizell. And then the government gets about a month to file its brief, and then I get a few weeks to file a final response. And then sometime, perhaps late summer, early fall, it will go to a three-judge panel of the 11th Circuit to adjudicate and argue. And sometimes it takes a month for the appeals court to issue a decision. Sometimes it takes a year. Like, you have no idea. So it's hard to estimate on the timeline, but I would say certainly not before mid-fall would we expect to have any kind of real resolution of this from the 11th Circuit.
Lucas Wall, thank you for being on my show here. Adam Lepp on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio. To hear previous episodes with Lucas, we had an airline pilot. We had another gentleman fighting the FTMM. Many people involved in this battle. Go to our website, WWGH1071.com, and look up the Adam the Computer Guy and mid-morning coffee break section. Lucas, have a great rest of your day, and we will talk again soon. Folks, please visit Lucas's website at lucas.travel. for more information. Adam Lepp on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio.